turning on the funding for victims of the earthquake in Italy. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Italian government meets today to nail down relief plans for the region of central Italy, where more than 250 people died in that earthquake yesterday, with some of the towns reduced to piles of brick and dust. This morning, I spoke to Reuters reporter Giulia Segretti, who's following Italy's official response today from Rome.
Today, the Italian government will meet in a cabinet and will approve emergency measures to help the affected communities. The cabinet will declare a state of emergency for the three regions that have been hit by the quake, and 50 million euros will be made readily available for the first required interventions. The Italian finance ministry has already said yesterday that there are funds available for the earthquake and the reconstruction and the relief. It's up to 234 million in a national emergency fund. And also they are thinking of making the first steps to approve a decree that will allow the towns and communities hit by the quake to be exempted from all national taxes and contributions, as has been done in the past in similar situations.
50 million euros, about $56 million. One of the challenges here is making sure relief money gets to its intended recipients, right, Giulia? We often see money siphoned off in inappropriate directions after disasters around the world. And I think Italy is not immune to problems of corruption in these situations.
We have to be fair in all of this. There have been investigations in the past with regards to managers that were part of the National Protection Agency, the department that organizes both the rescue and the relief and the reconstruction afterwards. But we have to be fair. Those managers have been removed at this point.
Reuters reporter Giulia Segretti in Rome. Giulia, thank you.
Thank you.
Now to what we can learn about the direction of the U.S. economy when people buy expensive things. This is more about airplanes and mining equipment than it is Rembrandts or diamond rings, but orders for durable goods are tracked carefully every month by the U.S. government. And there's news today, these long-lasting expensive things rebounded last month, up 4.4%. Diane Swank is CEO and founder of DS Economics in Chicago.
The highest level of durable goods orders after we strip out aircraft, which surged almost 90% during the month, still strong, the strongest level since July of 2011. And this has been the one sector that's really been lagging and not giving us much investment in the U.S. economy. The problem is, for all that strength, we're still not seeing much shipments out there. Shipments were actually down for the second month in a row and have been very weak. This is a sector that we've been worried about because the consumer has been spending where our businesses, they need to spend with the consumer. We need to go hand in hand and close that gap.
And what's this about a little bit of activity when it comes to oil field services here, equipment?
This is really interesting. We did see increases in fabricated metals, primary metals. The steel sector has been the hardest hit by the oil industry and machinery. And we actually saw in the month of July some drilling in the oil industry. So the fact that oil prices had bottomed out a bit and, you know, had sort of come back a bit from the very low levels we saw at the early part of the year meant that some places could come back online. We've still yet to see it really turn up in spending. The orders are there. There's a lag in terms of actual spending. And also one other issue, we need it because the auto sector, which has been the strongest sector out there consistently, now looks like it's plateauing. So we're passing off the baton. It'd be nice if we had the whole running team out there at the same time.
Diane Swank at DS Economics. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, Hillary Clinton is scheduled to campaign in Nevada. Polls there show a tight race between Clinton and Donald Trump. Nevada is a special case when it comes to battleground states, less rust belty than, say, Ohio and Pennsylvania. The economic concerns of Nevada present an additional set of challenges for would-be presidents. Marketplace's Mark Garrison takes a look.
Few states felt the 2008 downturn as directly, says University of Nevada, Las Vegas political science chair John Tooman.
We were ground zero in some ways.
The recession brutalized the state's famed casinos, and Nevada had the highest rate of foreclosures for years. Unemployment hit the Latino community especially hard. Latinos are 28% of Nevada's population, according to U.S. Census data. Tooman says they're listening closely as candidates talk border policy.
Immigration and for Latinos, it's consistently in the top one or two issues.
Nevada also struggles with another issue both candidates are going on about, aging infrastructure. The American Society of Civil Engineers gives the state's infrastructure a C-. Chuck Joseph led its report card process.
Yeah, we would really like to see more federal funding coming into the state of Nevada, we don't feel like we can always get our fair share.
Infrastructure is important because state leaders badly want to attract new businesses to the state, so it'll be less reliant on casinos. Tesla's upcoming battery factory there is the gleaming example. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Now to the UK, where 2 months ago this week, the Brits woke up to find out that they had voted to leave the European Union. The extrication process has barely begun, but 2 months later, some dire predictions have not immediately come true. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
EU supporters had warned that Brexit could cause mass unemployment. So far, that's clearly not happening, says James Reid, boss of one of Britain's biggest recruitment agencies. Since the referendum, he's advertised more than a third of a million new posts.
We've seen financial services and banking slow down, but at the same time, technology and automotive has accelerated. There are more jobs. For some companies, it's looking like, you know, a good prospect.
Unemployment has fallen. Retail sales are up. Moody's, the ratings agency, says the UK won't slip into recession. Employment Minister Damien Hines.
While there's no complacency, I think this does demonstrate the core strength of the British economy as we enter into this new phase. Britain is still the same outward-looking, ambitious, globally trading nation.
But some business people are anxious. While the sharp fall in the pound has helped boost exporters, importers are suffering. Tom Cridland is a young entrepreneur who's built a thriving fashion business. Most of his costs are incurred abroad, in euros.
The cost of the manufacturing team being based in Portugal, it's gone up by about 20%, obviously due to the fall of the pound.
He now fears a long period of uncertainty as the UK negotiates a new relationship with its European partners. That fear is widespread and has ominous implications, says Lee Hopley of the EEF Manufacturing Organisation.
When you see confidence take a knock, you might expect companies to review their recruitment and investment plans going forward. And certainly some of the companies that we talk to are doing that at the moment.
So, 2 months after the Brexit vote, here's the bottom line. The worst fears of the EU supporters have not yet been realised, but it's still too early to say whether or not there will be lasting damage. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The new expanded canal cuts about a third of the time off the journey from, in this case, a terminal near Port Arthur, Texas. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.